Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parsha Shemos, and the title of the shiur is Convincing Klal Yisrael. And as the title suggests, tonight we're going to discuss the signs that Moshe needed or used in order to convince Klal Yisrael that he was a messenger of God. And there's a couple of strange things and elements to the back and forth between Moshe and God with regard to these signs. So we're going to go into detail as to what that is or what the idea of the signs were. Okay, so the beginning of the area we're going to take up is Perek Dalet in Shmos in this week's Parsha. And we're going to start from the beginning of the Perek, which is obviously Pasuk Aleph. And I'm going to read, Vayan Moshe Vayomer Vehein, and we're kind of working backwards here, which is, I'll explain why, but let's start. Okay, Vayan Moshe Vayomer Vehein Lo Yaminu Li V'lo Yishmu V'Koli Ki Yomru Lo Nirai Lech Hashem. Moshe says to Hashem, they're not going to believe me, and they're not going to listen to my voice, because they'll say that Hashem never appeared to me. Hashem never appeared to me. Okay, so this is Moshe talking to God, and he's saying to God that Klal Yisrael, they're not going to believe me. Vayomer Lov Hashem Ma Ze Biyadecha Vayomer Mateh. And Hashem says to Moshe, what's in your hand? And Moshe says, I have a staff in my hand, a mateh. Okay, now what does he do? Vayomer Hashlicheu Artza Vayashlicheu Artza Vayhila Nachash Vayanas Moshe Mipanav. Okay, so Hashem says to Moshe, throw it to the ground, and the staff turns into a snake, and Moshe runs away from it. Apparently he was scared. Okay, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Shlach yadecho v'echoz biznavo, v'yishalach yado v'yechazek bo, v'yihi l'mateh b'chapo. So Moshe grabs the tail of the snake, and it turns back into a staff. L'ma'an ya'aminu, ki niroi lecho Hashem, Elokei Avosam, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, v'Elokei Yaakov. In order that they believe that Hashem, the God of your forefathers, has appeared to you. Okay? So that's sign number one. So the first sign is the mateh sign, which is that when you're in front of Klal Yisrael, you take your staff, you throw it to the ground, it turns into a nachash, and then when you grab it, it turns back into a staff. Okay? That's the first sign. And then he goes on, Hashem says, he gives him another sign. Vayomer Hashem lo, Hashem says to him, Od, furthermore, Have no yadecho bechikecho, vayave yado bechiko, vayotzi'a, vihine yado mitzaras kashaleg. So he says to Moshe to take his hand and put it inside his chest. And he takes his hand, he puts it in, and then when he takes it out, it's tzaras. It's white, like tzaras. Vayomer hashev yadecho el chikecho, vayoshev yado el chikho, vayotziyoh mechikho, vihine shava kivsaro. And then Moshe takes the hand, he puts it back in his shirt, and then he takes it out again, and it's back to normal. So that's sign number two. Okay? So the first sign, again, is Moshe is supposed to take the staff when he's in front of Klal Yisrael. He throws it to the ground. It turns into a snake. That's sign number one. And then sign number two is that he takes his hand, puts it in his chest. It turns into tzaras, which is all white, like snow. Then he takes it back out, and it's back to normal. Okay, that's sign number two. And then it says, V'haya im lo yaminu lecha, v'lo yishmu lekol ha'os harishon, v'haminu lekol ha'os ha'acharon. Hashem explains why he gives them two signs. He says if they don't believe the first sign, they'll believe the second sign. V'haya, it doesn't actually say the second sign, it says the last sign. V'haya im lo ya'aminu gam l'shnei ha'osos ha'ele, v'lo yishma'un l'kolecha, v'lakachta mimeimei ha'yor, v'shafachta yabasha, v'ayu ha'mayim asher tikach min ha'yor, v'hayu l'dam bayabashas. And then you have this last element, which is that if they don't believe the first sign and they don't believe the second sign, then what you do is you take water from the river and you spill it onto the ground and it turns into dam. It turns into blood. Okay, so basically, the basic summary of this parsha is that Moshe is nervous that Klal Yisrael is not going to believe him and that Hashem appeared to him. So Hashem, he gives him three signs to convince Klal Yisrael to believe that he had appeared to Moshe. And the first sign is the staff sign. The second sign is that he takes his hand and it turns into tzaras, and then he takes it out and turns back to normal. And then the third sign is dam, is that he takes blood, sorry, he takes water, he pours it onto the ground, and the water turns into blood. So those are the three signs. So what are the questions on this parsha, on this, not parsha, but on this area, on these psukim? Anybody have any?
There yeah. are a lot of questions.
Thank you. Can you give me one question?
Well, I don't know what it it is, but I think obviously we're going to go down the path of, like, what's the progression behind the Matez to the Saras, like, all these things.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, why does it start with the Matez? What's this? There must be, like, something, or, like...
Okay, so one question.
Exactly, it's like breaking down for the Jews when they see it, but there's got to be something happening.
Okay, good. So one question that's being raised or being asked is that why these three signs? What is it about these three signs that are significant and that will convince Klal Yisrael somehow that Hashem appeared to Moshe and to believe Moshe, to believe in Moshe? Right? That's your question. What is it about these signs?
Right.
Can anybody strengthen that question? I think there's a stronger question that you can ask. There's a couple similarities between two of the signs and signs that were done later on in the future. You know, which am I referring to? So the staff. Yeah, the staff was done before Paro, and also Dom also, right? But what happened in those situations? What happened? So the Egyptian magicians, they just were able to do it themselves, right? Like the magicians were able to throw their staffs down. And also by Dom, they were able to mimic Dom and to do the same thing. So then the question becomes stronger. How are these signs appropriate for convincing Klal Yisrael when you see that the Egyptians could just use their magic and their sleight of hand to do the same things? Wouldn't the Jews just assume that Moshe is, you know, pulling a trick on them and he's he's a magician? So what is it about these signs that would convince Klal Yisrael? It seems like these are poor signs to use. Okay? Any other questions on this?
Oh, isn't it a law that Moshe says that they won't believe him, that God is telling him to do something?
Well, how do you know that? You must have done this area before. Yes, we're going to get into that. I mean, why does Moshe... That's a question, another question. I mean, why does Moshe need these signs, right? What's his concern? Why does he think that they're not going to believe him? Why does he even ask for these signs? That's your question. It's a good question. All right. So that was another question that I wanted to take up. And there's one other question. It's a little more subtle. It's in the Psukim. And there may be more questions, but to me this question is a good question. If you look at Pasuk Ches, Perek Dalet Pasuk Ches, it says V'haya im lo yaminu lecha v'lo yishmu lekola os harishon. V'ha'aminu l'kola osa acharon. And then in Tess it says, V'haya im lo ya'aminu gam l'shneho osos ha'ela. So what's strange about that? And then it gives them dam. So what's strange to me is that it calls the second sign the osa acharon, the last sign. But it should really be the second sign out of the third. Really the osa acharon is the dam. So why is the Torah referring to the second sign as the kol ha'osa acharon? It should be the kol ha'osa sheni, or it should be the middle one. So why? That's the question, okay? Any other questions that anybody else has on this area that I'm missing, maybe? No? Okay. All right, so those are the questions. So, again, let me just state the questions. One question is, why was Moshe asking for this? What was his concern? Another question is, why these signs? And to further that question, you know, these signs, they didn't work with the Egyptians. They didn't convince the Egyptians. You see Dom was mimicked by the magicians. You see that the Mate was mimicked by the magicians. So how is this going to be convincing to Klal Yisrael in order to, you know, follow Moshe and be in line with Moshe? And then the last question that we just asked is a more subtle question, which is on the, why is it calling the second os, the second sign given to Moshe, it's calling it the last sign. It's really not the last sign. The last sign is really Dom. So we need to understand this area, okay? So the Ramban, actually, the first question we should take up is, what is Moshe asking for? What's his angle? Where is he coming from? Okay, so let's look at the Ramban in number two. It's the Ramban on Pasuk Aleph. It says, Vayan Moshe... Actually, there's a mistake in the Ramban that I put on the paper because that was the Ramban in the Bar Ilan CD, but I'm going to read you from the authentic Ramban. It's very similar, but it's a better print, okay? It says, Vayan Moshe Vayomer Vehein Lo Yaminu Li Velo Yishmu Bekoli. So, Osa Shah Diber Moshe Shalo Kehogen. So, this is what Tamar was mentioning. That at this moment, the Medrash says that Moshe wasn't speaking properly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar Lo Vishamu Lekolecha. So, above, in Parag Gimel Pasuk Yichas, which we're going to look at, Hashem says that they'll listen to your voice. Vehu Amar, and he's saying back, Vehein Lo Yaminu Li. And he's saying that they won't believe me. Miyad heshivu hakadosh baruch hu b'shitaso v'nasan lo osos l'fi dvarav. Lashon ve'ela shemos rabba. So Hashem responds by basically giving Moshe these osos, and he's responding within Moshe's opinion. He's saying, it's true that Moshe was speaking improperly, but nevertheless, God is basically giving into Moshe's argument. Okay? So the first point that the Ramban's making, which we're going to put aside for now, but it's a main question, there's a medrash that seems to indicate that Moshe did something wrong here. So the question is, what exactly did he do wrong? And it says Vishamu Lekalecha earlier, so then the question is, why did Moshe, we have to understand that deeper. Why would Moshe question that? And what was Moshe bothered by? But I think we should just put that aside for now, because we're going to come to it, and I promise you we'll try to answer that question. But let's just go on, okay? And we're going to take up the pshat first. Okay, so in my Ramban, it goes like this. Rabbeinu Avraham Amar, so the Ibn Ezra says, Al derech ha-pshat, based on the pshat of the psukim, Ki Hashem Amar, shi'aminu bo hazakenim, rak lo hisgir shi'aminu ha'am. So the Ibn Ezra wants to say that when it says Vishamu lekalecha, it's not referring to the whole nation, but it's referring to the zakenim, the elders of the nation. Or she yishmu lekolo, or they'll listen to Moshe's voice, v'ulai lo yaminu b'lev shalim. Or it's really referring to the whole Am, but Vishamu lekalecha means that they'll listen, but they won't believe fully. So the Ibn Ezra says two things. He gives two possibilities. One possibility is that basically the idea of Vishamu lekalecha is referring to the Zakenim, but Hashem never said that the people would listen. And therefore, when Moshe says Vehein lo yaminu li, he's referring to the Am. So he's addressing that, and he's not really contradicting God. And the other possibility is that, as we said, that they wouldn't believe him fully. So Moshe's trying to address that belief, okay? And let's just go on. Ve'inenu nachon, but he says this isn't the case, the Ramban. When Hashem says to Moshe that they'll listen to your voice, it's not a promise. He's not saying they will definitely listen to your voice. Rak tzava v'shamu lekolecha. But rather, it's a command that they should listen, or they will listen to your voice. Ki ro'i lahem sheyishmu. It's really appropriate for them to listen. V'tavo ato v'ziknei Yisrael amelech Mitzrayim. And then you and all the zakenim will go to Melech Mitzrayim. The chain, and he gives other examples. Vishamu Mitzrayim ki alisa b'chochecha v'amru al yosheva aretz. So the Mitzrayim will say that you took them out with a great force. Ro'i sheyiyeh kacha. It's appropriate for them to say this. V'chein b'zos teda ki ani Hashem. Ro'i lo miskayim. It's appropriate, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to come true. V'chein, and so too, v'haminu l'kola osa acharon b'farsha zos v'rabim kein. Okay, so the Ramban gives another approach, and he says that really the pshat is that Moshe understood Vishamu lekolecha, that God was saying, as not really a promise that they'll definitely listen to me, but rather it was more of, it's really appropriate for Klal Yisrael to listen to me. Okay, so we have three different approaches as to how to explain the pshat. That why was Moshe asking for more signs? Because either you have the Ibn Ezra, so Moshe was asking for more signs because he understood that the Zakenim would listen to him, but he didn't think that the Jews, the Am as a whole, would listen to him, or they wouldn't believe him fully. And then you have the Ramban, where he's explaining that Vishamu Lekalecha is not really God saying that they're definitely going to listen to you, but the Ramban saying it's really appropriate for them to listen to you. Okay? So those are the points, but I want to address the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban a little bit further. Okay? So what exactly was Moshe's approach? Why did he think that, in other words, why did he think that the Zakenim, it's true that Hashem said Vishamu Lekalecha, and that's referring to the Zakenim, but what is it about, why did Moshe not think that the Am would be able to take it or to tolerate it, okay, and to listen to him and believe him? So let's just go into the Psukim before. I know we're going backwards, but we're going to answer those questions. The question, which is that the Pshat seems to indicate that Klal Yisrael wouldn't believe Moshe fully before this point, before he gives these signs, or that only the Zakenim would believe him, or that it's roi for Klal Yisrael. What does it mean that it was roi for Klal Yisrael to believe Moshe initially? So let's just go into that a little bit. We'll explain that. Okay, so if we look at number 3 on the source sheet, look at the psukim themselves. It's Shmos Par Gimel. It starts with Yud Gimel and it goes to Yud Ches. And I'm going to read. Vayomer Moshe el ha'elokim, hinei anochi ba el bnei Yisrael, ve'amarti lahem, Elokei avoseichem shlachani aleichem v'amru li mashimo ma'omar aleichem. So Moshe says to Hashem, I'm going to go to Klal Yisrael, and they're going to say, you know, what's God's name? And what should I say back to them? So it says, Vayomer Elohim el Moshe, Ekiash Arkia, Vayomer Kosamar Levne Yisrael, Ekiash Lachani Aleichem. So Hashem, he tells Moshe that Moshe should tell Klal Yisrael that Ekiash Arkia appeared to him. So that's one thing. And then it says, Vayomer Ode Elohim el Moshe, and Hashem says again to Moshe, Kosomar el Bnei Yisrael, Hashem, Elokei Avoseichem, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov, Shlachani Aleichem, Zeh Shemi Le'olam, Zeh Zichri Le'dor Dor. Then he goes on and he says, what should Moshe do? He should tell the whole Am that Hashem, the God of your forefathers, you know, sent me. And this is his name, and this is how he should be remembered, Zichri Le'dor Dor, mentioned. Lech Ve'asavta Zignei Yisrael, Ve'amarta Aleichem, Hashem, Elokei Avoseichem, Nira Eloi, Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Le'mor, Pakod Pakati Aschem Ese Asui Lachem B'Mitzrayim. Okay, then he adds that on. Go to the Zakenim and tell him this. Va'omar Ale Aschem Oni Mitzrayim El Eretak Nani V'Achiti V'Amori V'Aprizi V'Achivi V'Yivusi El Eretav Aschel Avad Bosh. So you tell them that basically Hashem's going to take them into Eretz Yisrael and take them out of Mitzrayim. And then you have this pasuk, Yud Ches. V'Shamu L'Kolecha, and they'll listen to your voice. Uvasa atav zikne Yisrael melech Mitzrayim va'amartem elav Hashem Elokei Avrim nikra alinu va'ata nelcha na derech shloshesh yamim b'midbar v'nizbecha la'Hashem Elokeinu. So the last pasuk says, and they'll listen to your voice, and then you'll go with the zikneim to Mitzrayim, and you'll tell them, you know, this plan. Okay. So this is right before the psukim that you know that Moshe is asking for these signs, or he's asking for more signs or more proof to convince Klal Yisrael. So what is, so I think if we look at number four, just before we answer the question, look at number four. It says, Vishamu lekolecha, me'elehem. They'll believe you or they'll listen to your words on their own. Michevan shetomar lehem lashon ze yishmu lekolecha. Once you use this lashon, then they'll believe you. Shekfar siman ze maser biyadam miyakov. They have a sign from Yaakov, Yosef, and from Yosef, shebelashon ze heim negalim. That Klal Yisrael are going to be nigal, they're going to be redeemed through these words. Yaakov Amar Velokim Pakod Yevkod Eschem, Yosef Amar Lehem Pakod Yevkod Elokim Eschem. So basically the Rashi is explaining that Moshe is signaling that God appeared to him and that they're going to be redeemed through the words of Pakod Pakadati. Velokim Pakod Yevkod Eschem. Okay? So how do we explain the Pshat? Okay? So I just want to use this Rashi and the Psukim to try to address what the concern of Moshe was. I think the concern, does anybody have an approach, or why did Moshe not believe that, or why did he ask for more? Why did he say, V'hein lo ya'aminu li, v'lo yishmu
b'koli? Maybe he thought the Jews were enslaved for so long, they wouldn't believe anything.
Okay, I like that. So how would you define or describe the nature of, you know, the arguments that Moshe is supposed to make initially, that God tells Moshe to make to Klal Yisrael? So I think the idea is that you see all the arguments that Hashem tells Moshe to make to Klal Yisrael, they're all intellectual arguments. There's nothing spectacular about the arguments. There's nothing about the argument. They're just logical arguments. And what was the plan? The plan was that how was Moshe supposed to convince the Zakenim and Klal Yisrael that Hashem appeared to him? He was supposed to teach them ideas about God. He was supposed to teach them Eki Asher Ekya. And he was supposed to tell them about the Nevuah, and try to link up his Nevuah with the Nevuahs of the past that they had a Mesorah for. So you see that the real way that Moshe was supposed to convince Klal Yisrael was by demonstrating to them that the knowledge that he had about God must have been through Nevuah. No person could understand Ekya Asher Ekya and could have Pakod Yevkod without getting a Nevuah. So initially, the way that Moshe was supposed to approach Klal Yisrael and the Zakenim as well was to use, you know, to use logic and to use ideas and concepts in order to convince them that he was really the messenger of God. And the ideas in specific, we're not going to get into the specifics, but you see from Psukim, Yud Gimel, and Yud Ches, it seems to be that the whole approach that Hashem is giving Moshe is that tell them, give them an idea about God, Ekya Asher Ekya, which is not just a name, but there's also an idea there that God is with you. And also give them the Nevuah, and if you explain the Nevuah properly and you give them the idea, really they'll listen to you. So this, I think this explains like what the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra and they're saying in terms of the Pshat. See, the Pshat is that really it was really for Klal Yisrael to listen to Moshe just based on ideas and concepts alone. And the same thing with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra is saying that the Zakenim, Siva Shamal Lekalecha, is referring to the Zakenim. Why? Because the Zakenim are able to, people who are wise and who are Chachamim and who are elders, they're able to be convinced by logic and by knowledge alone. And what the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra are saying is that apparently the Am as a whole, they're unable, they're incapable of accepting just purely logical arguments. They need more. They need more. You know, I don't know if it's spectacular, because I don't think it's spectacular, but they need. We're going to explain what it is, but they need something more in order to convince them. So you see, the pshat is that Moshe understood that. The pshat is that Moshe understood that, despite the fact that God's saying v'shamu l'kalecha, that he understood that v'shamu l'kalecha, according to the Ramban, is an ideal. It's an idea that really Klal Yisrael, if they were on the right level, would be able to accept Moshe as the Shliach Hashem purely based on ideas, purely based on knowledge. But, however, the reality, Moshe understood the reality, and the reality is that he knew that the Am as a whole would not be able to relate to Moshe as the Shliach Hashem purely from a conceptual and ideological standpoint, and that there needed to be something else there. And Moshe was aware of that, and that's what he's asking for. And that's when he says, "Vayan Moshe vayomer v'hein lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu bekoli ki yomru lo nirah elecha Hashem." Meaning Moshe, he's not really, according to the pshat, he's not contradicting God. According to the Medrash, he is. But according to the pshat, he's not. Why? Because v'shamu l'kalecha is not referring to the Am, or it's referring to an ideal state of the Am. But Moshe understands the reality. The reality is that you can't go to you can't go to masses of people and just say to them, "Oh, you want to learn about God? Let me show you this incredible idea about God. Let me show you Nevuah, and through that, you'll know that for a fact that I must have been a Shliach Hashem." That's very good for Chachamim, Talmidei Chachamim, but for the average person, it doesn't work. Okay? So that's the beginning of the approach of tonight's shiur. The beginning of the approach is the question, the first question, why? What was Moshe asking for? So now we understand the pshat a little bit deeper, that the pshat is that Moshe was asking for a greater ability to convince Klal Yisrael, because he understood that the average person doesn't relate to knowledge and concepts, you know, emotionally, and they can't be convinced by that alone, and they need something else to along with the knowledge and the concepts. And really, the plan was that Moshe utilized this knowledge and these concepts to convince Klal Yisrael. But the reality, Moshe understood the reality, and he's trying to beseech God to give him some other way to convince Klal Yisrael as a whole. Okay? Anybody have questions, or does that make sense, or any other approach? All right, so I think it's a basic idea in this area, in this sugya. But then I really wanted to get into, I think Debbie asked the question, which is that, what is the nature of these signs, okay? And also, why these signs? And also, you had Tamar's question originally, which is, what did he do wrong? We saw in the Ramban in number 2, it says, Osa Shah Diber Moshe Shalog Gehogen, that Moshe was speaking improperly. But the question is, why was he speaking improperly? Really, the reality was, based on the pshat, he didn't do anything wrong, because Klal Yisrael, they would not be able to accept Moshe as the messenger of God based purely on knowledge and ideas. So he didn't do anything wrong. But to strengthen the question of what did he do wrong, look at number 5, okay? It says, Vayaged Moshe l'Aaron es kol divrei Hashem asher shlacho ves kol osos asher tivo. So when Aaron came to Moshe, Moshe explained the whole nevuah that he got to Aaron, and he told him about all the osos that Hashem commanded him in. Vayelech Moshe v'Aaron v'yasu es kol zikne b'nei Yisrael. So they went and they gathered all the elders of B'nai Yisrael. Vayidaber Aaron es kol advarim asher diber Hashem el Moshe v'yas ha'osos le'inei ha'am. Okay, so Aaron, he spoke all the things that were said to Moshe, and the signs were done. He did the signs before the Am, before the nation. Vayamein ha'am vayishmu ki fakad Hashem es B'nai Yisrael v'chi ra'a es onyam v'yikdu v'yishtachavu. And the Am, they believed him. They believed in Moshe, and they listened because they believed that Hashem was now remembering them and that he saw that they're suffering, and they bowed down. Okay? So this strengthens the question, because you see in number 5 that he actually did need the osos to convince the Am. So what exactly did he do wrong by saying v'hein lo yaminu li? What is it? Why did he speak shlo kahogen? He was actually right. He was correct in his approach. His claim was that that they're not going to listen to me, and the Medrash is saying that he spoke Shulka Hogan because it says Vishamu Lekolecha, but the reality is that he needed the signs, and you see that he did the signs. If he didn't need the signs, he wouldn't have done them, but he does them in Pasuk Lamed. So the question is, what did he do wrong when he said Vehin Lo Yaminu Li? Yeah.
Maybe he only got the signs to show them because he didn't believe in them. But if he had believed in them, Hashem would have said, okay, here are signs for you.
Say it again? I'm sorry, say that again?
Like, maybe only because he expressed the fact that he wouldn't believe that they would believe in him, did Hashem have to give him signs. So it was almost like...
Okay, all right. It was also the signs. Okay, all right, so that's a good point. All right, okay, but you see that he actually needed them, right? I mean, you do accept that he needed them, but you're just saying that he wouldn't have gotten them if he didn't say anything or if he didn't mention anything, right?
Then is it possible that maybe if he had gone without the signs, but because he believed so much in them, they would have believed him?
That's a good point. You're saying maybe.
Yeah, self-fulfilling prophecy, sort of, you know.
Yeah, you're saying that if he had believed in Klal Yisrael, then maybe he wouldn't have needed the signs because he would have done a better job, or he would have been more convincing in terms of expressing the knowledge and the ideas of the Nevuah. It's possible. All right, it's a good possibility.
Right.
Okay. By the way,
I don't think.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, I was going to say I don't think it really matters. What Klal Yisrael is thinking. I think it's about his mentality at the time.
Okay. All right. So what was wrong with his mentality?
Maybe he didn't trust himself.
Moshe didn't trust himself? So why? I mean, why is that Shelo Gehogen? Why is that inappropriate? The Medrash says it's inappropriate because he was contradicting God, because God said, V'shamu l'kolecha, and he's saying, V'hin lo yaminu li. So it's a contradiction.
Doing what God wants him to do.
Okay, all right. Interesting possibility. All right, anybody else? All right. But actually, before we... I want to look at the Rashis, because the Rashi, I think, explains the Medrash a little bit further, and then we'll get, like, a deeper idea into it. But those are all good possibilities, and I hear those possibilities, and we'll see if they fit into the Rashis, okay? By the way, before we move forward, if you look at number 6, when it says Vayasa Osos, I just wanted to tell you that, lest you think that it's different signs that were done, the Ibn Ezra says openly in Pasuk Lamed, Hamatev Os Hayad V'lakach Maim Hayor V'hiu L'dam B'yabashas. When it says that Moshe or Aaron did the Osos, I'm not sure which one, but when they did the Osos in front of Klal Yisrael, so it's referring to the 3 signs that were given to Moshe earlier, okay? So that's just explaining the psukim when it says Vayasa Osos. Okay, but now we have to get into the meat of the issue, which is what everybody's trying to answer, which is what did he do, according to the Medrash, the Drush, what did he do wrong? Okay, so let's look at Rashi, because Rashi is very interesting, a lot of issues with Rashi. So number 7, Rashi on Perek Dalet Pasuk Beis, and we'll go through them. It says, Mazeh Biyadecha. So it's interesting, if you look in the psukim, the ma zeh is one word. Usually it's 2 words, ma and zeh, but in the Torah it's put together, ma zeh. So the Rashi explains this. He says, L'chach nichtav teva achas. This is why it's written as one word. Lidros mizeh, to make a drusha from it, should be yadacha ata chayav lilkos. That you're chayav to get malchus, to be lashed by the stick in your hand. Shechashadta b'chsherim, because you're a choshed b'chsherim, you suspected those who are kosher, those who are appropriate or proper. Upshuto, but the pshat is ka'adam sheomer l'chaveiro mode ata shezu shlefanecho evenhi. So you know that you accept the fact that this is a stone in your hand, omer lohein, and then the person says yes. Amar lo hareni osa osa eight. So I'm going to make it into wood. So the pshat is that it's like he's like saying, what's in your hand? And you think it's this, I'm going to make it into something else. But the drush is interesting. The drush is saying, why is the staff involved in this os, in this sign? Because the staff really is reflecting the fact that Moshe had a flaw and that he was chayev to get malchus, to be lashed by the staff. And what was his flaw? He was choshed b'chsherim, that he was suspicious of those who are kosher. So we're going to explain that. Before we explain that, Let's just do all the pshat, and then we'll come back and explain it, okay? Vayhi l'nachash. So what's the idea of the staff turning into a snake? Remez lo, or ramaz lo, shesiper lashon hara al Yisrael. V'tafas umnaso shel nachash. So this was a hint or a sign to Moshe that he spoke lashon hara about Yisrael, and he's tofes, he's grabbing the umna, the work, or the, I guess the, what's a good, the employment of the nachash, the work of the nachash, okay, umnaso. So he's explaining that two things. The staff was an idea in Moshe being chayv malchus, getting lashes. Why? Because he was choshed b'chsherim. And then he's explaining why the staff turned into a snake. Why? Because the snake reflects the fact that Moshe spoke lashon hara about Klal Yisrael. And we're going to have to explain that. What does that mean, tafas umnasol shel nachash? Why is a nachash the reflection of speaking lashon hara? So that's one thing. Before you answer that, let's just do Dalet Vav and Zayin. It says, Vayachazek bo, lashon achizahu. Okay, fine. So he's grabbing the stick, and then it turns back into the... he grabs the snake's tail, and it turns back into the staff. Okay, skip to Vav. Mitzaras kasheleg, or kasheleg. So his hand, it turned white like tzaras, like snow. Derech tzaras lios levana. So normally tzaras, it turns white. Im baharas levana hi. Right, that's the pasuk referring to tzaras. Af be'ozer ramash lashon hara siper ba'omro lo yaminuli. And also this is a remez that he spoke lashon hara when he said lo yaminuli leficha chilko b'tzaras. Therefore he got tzaras kimosha luxa Miriam al lashon hara. Just like Miriam got malchus, or she not malchus, but she was afflicted because of lashon hara. Okay, fine. And then we can skip the last Rashi. Okay, so you have in the first two signs you have. It seems to me to be redundant ideas, right? So the first sign is that he's taking the staff and he's throwing it to the ground and it turns into a snake. And Rashi's explaining that the idea of the staff was that he was choshed b'chsherim and he's supposed to be lashed by the staff. It's a remez to him for that. And the other idea is that he's making it into a snake because he's acting like a snake in that he's speaking lashon hara about Klal Yisrael. And then he gets saras. Why? Because he's speaking lashon hara about Klal Yisrael. So what? I don't understand. It's the same. Why is he getting two signs about the same flaw for the same thing? He spoke lashon hara and he spoke lashon hara. Why is he getting punished or at least remes hints to the same exact flaw twice? It seems to be redundant, right? So anybody have any?
Maybe to show that it affects like you and the people you speak to. So two things.
Okay. All right.
Please speak up.
All right. Well, I think, yeah, okay. Anybody else? It's good. Okay, anybody? Debbie, come on. Step to the plate. Tamar? Anybody else on the phone line? Okay, so those are the questions. It seems strange to me that that these osos were they seem to be redundant. They're both on Lashon Hara, but why... Why is he getting two signs about lashon hara? And then also the other question is, how does this relate to like convincing Klal Yisrael? You know, and we said before that we had a problem before, and just keep this in the back of your mind. The problem is that these signs, they're not so spectacular because you see that the Mitzrayim were able to mimic the signs. So it's very nice that these ideas are being maybe not the tzaras, but certainly the dam and the nachash. So it's very nice that Moshe is being hinted to, you know, about these, you know, these flaws that he has. But how is this going to convince Klal Yisrael that he's a messenger of God? Okay.
Well, maybe he's supposed to do those two signs.
Yeah.
Because like that's what they can relate to, because that's what the Egyptians can do. So like he kind of connects with them, and then he throws Saras, and also that's something that's like they've never seen before. But maybe like the initial one is just to show them that, like, I don't know, like, he's like a normal, he's like the other people there, he's like a regular person.
Okay, alright.
Like, once you establish you're a regular person, it makes the Tzaraas even more amazing.
But then you're just saying that the other two signs are, like, not real, and the only real sign is the Tzaraas sign, because the other two signs were...
I'm saying that's where the spotlight should be.
alright. So, let's try to answer this, okay? Well, step by step. We'll break it down, okay? So the fact that, I think it's a good question, it's a solid question, it seems to be redundant. So I think you have to say that there's two aspects, or there are two types of flaws being expressed. That they're both Lashon Hara, but there's two expressions of Lashon Hara going on here. And Moshe is being there's a remez that he has these flaws in the signs, and we'll try to explain, you know, how the signs affected Klal Yisrael. So what are the two different flaws that Moshe possessed in terms of speaking Lashon Hara? So the first one is tied to the idea of Choshed Bechsherim, that as Rashi says explicitly, but it says that he was tafas. It also says Ramaz Lo Shesipar Lashon Hara Al Yisrael V'tafas Umnaso Shel Nachash. So what does it mean that he was tofes the Umna Shel Nachash? So I think the idea is that the Nachash, one of the key characteristics of the Nachash, was that his words were very subtle, and there was subtle implications that could be drawn from his words. But like a Nachash is considered cunning and tricky. So the trickiness is, especially a Nachash from Bereishis, but the trickiness is in the words used by the Nachash, that the Nachash is able to use words which aren't explicit, but you can draw conclusions from them, and you can, they're implicit in the words are negatives, or are, you know, are aggressive elements. So maybe the idea is that, and I think everybody was mentioning this. See, when Moshe says, Vehin lo ya'aminu li, so he's really saying that the fact that they're not able to accept Moshe purely based on ideas and concepts, implied in that is that they're really not worthy of being nigal, of being redeemed. Because it's really, there's an expression here that they're lacking something, that Klal Yisrael, that they're missing something, but as a result of that, there's an implication that they really shouldn't be redeemed. And the problem that Moshe's expressing, he's not saying explicitly, he never said, oh, they're not worthy of being redeemed. No, he says, v'hein lo yaminu li. But when he's before God, he's in the presence of God, and he expresses a certain lacking or a certain flaw in Klal Yisrael, there's an implication there, perhaps, that they should not be nigal. They're not deserving of being nigal. So the idea, one idea of the Lashon Hara is that he was tafas umnaso shel nachash, that there's a subtle implications that could be drawn from Moshe's words with regard to the level of Klal Yisrael that Moshe is expressing in his speech. So when he says, v'hein lo yaminu li, yes, maybe the words themselves aren't so terrible, but there's implications that can be drawn. And I was thinking of an example, like you can either say, you know, a certain person, let's say a woman, you could say the woman is fat, you know, so if you say a woman is fat, that's an explicit, you know, explicitly aggressive Lashon Hara statement, even if it's true. But like, let's say you said, you know, it's hard for the woman to find a dress because she's a size 30, you know? So maybe in that statement, you're not saying like she's fat, you're not saying explicitly, but you can draw conclusions from the statement, oh, the woman's fat, you know? So there is, that's more of a Nachash type of Lashon Hara where you're acting cunningly. There's more of a subtlety to your words. It's not very subtle, but there's still some subtlety in the sense that you're expressing the fact that the woman's heavy and overweight, but not in a direct way. So it's the same thing with Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's tafas umnaso shel nachash, because he's really expressing an unworthiness of Klal Yisrael in terms of them being redeemed, but he's doing it in a very subtle way. And I don't know if that was his intention or not, but you do see, I was thinking about this, you do see before in the Parsha, after Moshe realizes that the Ivri told on him to Paro, he does say, Acheinu da davar. And there's a famous Rashi over there where it says that Moshe understood why they deserved to be enslaved. And he never understood it, but he understood then. So there seems to be an implication from there that Moshe did have a certain perspective of Klal Yisrael, and perhaps in his perspective, they really weren't worthy of being redeemed. But nevertheless, in his expression of v'hein lo yaminu li, he's revealing that, and that's a problem, that's a flaw. So that's one aspect of the Lashon Hara. But there's another aspect also, which is in the Lashon itself. So, and that's the second part of, look at Rashi in Vav, on the Mitzaras Kashalig. He quotes the Pasuk. He says, Af be'ozeh remez shel Lashon Hara siper be'omro lo yaminu li. Okay, so what is that? What's that problem? See, there's a way to say something also. And see, when Moshe says, v'hein lo yaminu li, he's saying it as a definite, as a, this will definitely happen, right? He says, he doesn't say, ulai lo yaminu li. He doesn't say, perhaps they won't listen to me, but he says, lo yaminu li, they won't listen to me. So that's also an aspect of Lashon Hara, the idea that you can draw conclusions about another person's level or another person, and you can generalize with a definitive possibility is also Lashon Hara, is also to say that for sure they won't believe me is, you know, Moshe doesn't have a right to say that, and that's Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael, that they will definitely not believe him. So there's two, so I think the idea of the signs and the Midrashim and what it, and explaining what Moshe did wrong is that there's two aspects to it. One aspect is that Moshe, as the first Rashi mentions, that Moshe really was expressing an unworthiness on the part of Klal Yisrael to be redeemed. And that's Lashon Hara, but that's like the Nachash. That's like a cunning Lashon Hara, very subtle Lashon Hara. And the other type of Lashon Hara is where you assume that somebody's going to act a certain way without, you know, prior to them acting that way. Like if you said, oh, that person's definitely going to steal when they, or if you, let's say you saw a kid and you said, oh, that kid's going to be on drugs for sure. You know, so if you said that about a kid, you know, maybe you're right. But to say for sure this is going to happen and you see this for sure, you know, that's Lashon Hara. That's a problem of Lashon Hara. So, and that's one of the problems in Moshe's statement, Vehein lo yaminu li. It's not, if he had worded it, ulai lo yaminu li, he would have been much better off. There wouldn't be an assumption there of what exactly is going to happen. But the fact that he says, Vehein lo yaminu li, velo yishmu b'koli, he's making a definite statement. They will definitely not believe me. They'll definitely not listen to me. So I think the idea of the two signs, the first two signs, is that they're expressing a certain flaw that Moshe was expressed or revealed in his words, Vehein lo yaminu li. Okay? So then, before we go on a little bit, so then this I think answers that question of the Kol HaOsa Acharon. Remember we asked the question, why is it that the second Os is called the last Os? So if you look at number 8, it says, Mikan Shederach HaKasov Likro Acharon Gam LeEmtzai. So the Torah calls even the middle one, the last one. Sharei Achara Os HaSheni Shekaro HaKasov Acharon Ba Os Shlishi. Because there's a third Os. So you see that even the second Os can be called Acharon. But you still have the question, why is it called Acharon? Right? So I think it's expressing the fact that these two signs were a unit. There are two signs in a unit. You call, the reason why it's called the last sign isn't because it's really the last sign, but it's the last sign in the unit of sign of this unit of signs. So the first two signs, the throwing the staff down and turning into a snake, and the tzaras, they're both an expression of a similar flaw that Moshe possessed, and they act in conjunction with one another as signs. Whereas the third sign, which is Dam, is kind of a separate sign. So that's why, even though there are really three signs, you call the second sign the last sign because it's the end of a unit. It's the it's an expression of a unit of signs. Okay? All right. Anybody have any questions?
Sorry, quick question.
Sure.
Sorry. In terms of the two different expressions of Lashon Hara,
yeah.
Is each one, sorry, I don't, you might have said this earlier, but is each one worthy of like a sin, of a chet?
Yeah, each one was a separate flaw. That's why there's two separate signs being given to Moshe. And I said, and I used my examples, the fat example and the...
I got the fat example.
The fat example and the other one was the drugs, the kid on drugs, you know? This kid's going to be on drugs. This kid's going to be a murderer. You know, to say that is Lashon Hara. So there's two different expressions and two different flaws here going on. One is, you know, Moshe expressing unworthiness of Klal Yisrael through his words, and the other one is the idea of definitive knowledge without having that knowledge about Klal Yisrael. Okay? All right.
Yep.
So now the question is, and I think we're going to go, everything fits in, so you got to, you know, keep, I guess we're going to keep going forward. And then the question was, so how are these signs supposed to influence Klal Yisrael? So I think I made a convincing argument before that it's not the supernatural elements of the signs that are supposed to convince Klal Yisrael. Because you see that the Mitzrayim are able to do the same things, right? So there must be something else, okay? And I think this will explain, the Pshat also, okay? So look at number 9 in Rashi. He says, "V'haminu l'kola os acharon." So he's explaining why the Jews will believe the last sign, which is the middle sign. "Mishetomer lahem b'shvilchem lakisi al shesiparti aleichem lashon hara yaminu l'cha." When you tell them that because of you I was afflicted, because I spoke Lashon Hara about you, then they'll believe you. Shekvar lamdu b'chach shamizdavgin lahara lohem lokim b'negayim. There's a Mesor, there's a tradition that people who come to harm Klal Yisrael, they're afflicted with negayim, kigon paro v'avimelech b'shvil Sara. Because by Avram and Sarah, paro and avimelech, they try to harm Sarah, and they try to take Sarah away from Avram, and they were afflicted by negayim. Okay? So what exactly? See, what exactly was the? So now, what do we see from this? How are these signs supposed to convince Klal Yisrael? So I think Rashi is pointing out the same thing, that it's not the supernatural element, but rather, see, Klal Yisrael, they needed to feel a certain, I think somebody mentioned this, but they need to feel a certain security in God, and they lack that, because for years they were slaves, they were enslaved by the Mitzrayim, and there was no sign of any protection, any Ashgacha, and it's very nice that Klal Yisrael, you know, it's very nice that Moshe is presenting them with knowledge and ideas and concepts about Ekyash or Ekyah. But ultimately, for the nation as a whole to believe and to trust in Moshe, they need to feel a certain sense of protection and security in God. And the idea of these signs was not that it's expressing the supernatural, that God is able to do everything, but rather it's trying to express to Klal Yisrael that there's a certain hashgacha to protect them. And once they were able to see that, then they were able to put their trust in Moshe Rabbeinu and their security in Moshe Rabbeinu as being the messenger of God. But until that point, they weren't able to. So the point of the signs are twofold. One, they're trying to express to Moshe a flaw that he had, but also they're trying to express to Klal Yisrael that there is a certain protection, and watching them, and God doesn't care, but there's a certain protection that's afforded to them, and Moshe's expressing that through the signs. So the signs were really there to teach Klal Yisrael, to give them and a certain emotional security, an emotional feeling of protection from God. And only then could they trust in Moshe. Okay? Okay, so I think we're going well. Any questions? It's good. Does it make sense? Everybody following? Debbie?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm following.
All right. All right, so what about the last sign? So I think everything fits in. So what about the last sign, the Dam? So what is the idea of the Dam? So as we all know, from our Seder and our Haggadah, the Dam was the first Makkah, that was the first of the Makkos. And Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, they both mention this, and they somehow tie it to this, the third sign. So it says in number 9, look at the last Rashi, V'lakachta b'mimeh ha'yor in tes, remez lohem shebemakkah rishona nifra me'elahusam. So he was giving them a hint that in the first Makkah, that their gods, the Egyptian gods, would be, you know, would be destroyed and would be repaid. Okay. And then we can skip the next Rashi. It's kind of a separate point. It's about, Moshe Rabbeinu and in terms of the nature of the Nes. And then if you look at number 10, the Ibn Ezra, he says a similar thing. He says, V'hayal im hayu od miktas Yisrael shelo yaminu ba'osa achron ta'aseh ha'osa shlishi v'yaminu. So you should do the third one. If all of Klal Yisrael doesn't believe the second one, you should do the third one. It says that Moshe did them. It's a portion of the first Makkah. Okay? So what exactly is the how would you define or characterize the last sign? Alright? Leaving this up as a question. How would you characterize the last sign? Alright, Tamar? No. All right. So the
I'm
last
here.
What?
That I'm here.
Okay. So the last sign is really giving them, you know, it's giving them a plan. The plan. It's showing them how God is going to take down the Mitzrayim. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi's explaining, you know, the plan. The plan is to knock out their gods first. And the Ibn Ezra, he doesn't say that explicitly, but he also says that the idea of this sign was to give them a little hint or a little taste of the beginning of the Makkos. So why was that necessary? So I think it fits in perfectly. You see, Klal Yisrael, they're not pure intellectuals. They're not all Einstein. You know, they can't just all relate to the ideas purely. So the first thing is that Moshe has to give them a certain feeling or sense of security in God, that God is protecting them. But then they need to see how the plan is going to unfold and how God is going to conquer or destroy the Mitzrayim. So the idea of the third sign is that the third sign is really a precursor to, you know, to what the Makkos, to what's going to happen and how God is going to take down the Mitzrayim and ultimately defeat the Mitzrayim. Okay? And once the Jews were able to see that, then they were able to put their trust into Moshe. So they really needed both elements. They needed to feel protected from God, but they also needed to see how God was going to defeat the Mitzrayim. And the last sign given to Moshe, the Oath of the Dam, was really that element. It was really, as I said before, it was really demonstrating to them, you know, what will happen to the future, how God is going to take out the Mitzrayim. Okay? So now I think we explained all the signs, hopefully explained them well. So let me just review the shir, you know, review the main points of the shir. And I think we answered all the questions, but if we didn't, you know, just tell me, and we'll try to take it up. Okay? So the main idea of the shir is that you have this strange exchange between Moshe and God in terms of Moshe saying that they're not going to listen to me, they're not going to believe me. And Hashem gives Moshe three signs. One sign is that he's going to take a staff and turn it into a snake, and then it turns back into a staff. And then you have the sign of the tzaras, where he takes his hand, he puts it in his chest. He takes it out, tzaras, puts it back in, takes it out, it's healed. And then you have the last sign, which is the dam. So we had a lot of questions, you know, what exactly is Moshe concerned with? And, you know, and why these signs? And these signs don't seem to be so miraculous, because the Mitzrayim are able to mimic the signs. So what exactly is he doing? How is this going to convince Klal Yisrael? So we said a couple ideas. One idea is that Moshe, from a pshat level, Moshe understood that Klal Yisrael would not simply be swayed by pure logics and ideas and concepts, and they needed something more. But on a drush level, on a more, midrashic element, it was really an expression of a certain flaw that Moshe possessed. And we said that there's two elements to Moshe's flaw. One element was that he expressed an unworthiness on the part of Klal Yisrael to be redeemed, and that's the idea of the snake oath. And the second flaw, which we mentioned, is the idea that Moshe was definitive in his idea. He says, "V'hein lo yaminu li," they definitely won't believe me. And even though Moshe was right in the sense that he needed the osos, the way he expressed it revealed or reflected a flaw that he had. And that's the idea of the osos. They're trying to there's hints to him as to the nature of his two flaws within Lashon Hara. Okay? And then, so we said that the idea of the signs was that they're not going to convince Klal Yisrael because of their supernatural element, but they're trying to convince Klal Yisrael by demonstrating to them that there's a certain protection afforded to them by God. And that's something that they had lost being enslaved for so many years, and it's something that they needed in order to believe in Moshe and to believe in his mission. And then finally, the last sign, which is the sign of Dam, is given to Klal Yisrael to express to them the future and to show them a little bit, or give them a hint of how the Mitzrayim are going to be defeated by God. And once they saw all these elements, and once they were able to, I guess, put their emotions into Moshe and put their security into God, only then were they able to, you know, to go along with the plan and go along with Moshe. So I think that explains the nature of this area pretty thoroughly. There's other shittas. So we were just doing Rashi, a little bit of the Ramban, but there's other shittas. There's a Svarno and there's a Rabbeinu Bechaya, but it's not for tonight. But if you're interested, they give other opinions as to how to explain this. Okay? So anybody have any questions or any thoughts or ideas? Any more questions? All right, so have a good Shabbos, everybody. And
thank you so much.
Yes, enjoy the Parsha this week. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.